Hello, I'm Maurice Powell. Welcome to A Little Light Music, Manx Radio's regular Thursday evening classical music hour. I'm going to play a little bit of Handel, as I think I promised last week, during this evening's programme. One or two things that you perhaps may not have heard before, or certainly haven't heard for a long time. And then we shall have a good selection of as many British light music pieces as I can cram into the rest of the programme. But let's start with A Mighty Blast of Handel. A bit of an unusual start, this. I don't usually start any of these programmes with a blast of choral music, but I couldn't resist it. This is the opening chorus, We Praise the Lord, from Handel's Dettingen Te Deum, written in 1843 to celebrate the victory of George II against the French at the Battle of Dettingen. It's a wonderful piece. It's one of the noisiest pieces Handel ever wrote. As you might expect, really, it's a great celebratory piece. It's quite long. It lasts nearly 40 minutes, and it would be something well worth our choral society's taking up. It does have soloists, alto and tenor and bass, but lots of wonderful choruses, many of them quite powerful, quite a large orchestra, including acres of trumpets and drums, and would certainly make a change from, well, Messiah, I guess. That's all we ever hear here, isn't it? Messiah. So here's the opening chorus then for the beginning of our programme from the Dettingen Te Deum, We Praise Thee, O God. Thank you. The opening chorus from Handel's magnificent Dettingen Te Deum. We may return to that piece, or we shall certainly be returning to Handel again in the programme. So, some real British light music now, and the music of Ernest Tomlinson, born in Lancashire in 1924, and he began his musical training as a chorister at Manchester Cathedral before reading music at the City's University. Ernest was a very great figure in the story of British light music in the post-war era, along with Coates, of course, who was at the end of his career by then, and Robert Farnon, the new boy on the block from Canada. He was commissioned to write the music for a ballet, Aladdin, from the Northern Dance Theatre in Manchester. It was premiered at the Northern College of Music and received over 100 performances around the UK. Now, the score includes a number of set dances, and no fewer than four orchestral suites were later extracted and broadcast. Dances from Aladdin even won an Ivan Novello Award for Best Light Orchestral Work in the mid-1970s. Now, three of the solo dances are known as dual dances. They are Ruby, Emerald and Pearl. They're all very short, so let's hear them now. Ruby, Emerald and Pearl from Ernest Tomlinson's music for Aladdin.
Thank you.
Three lovely magical dances there from the music Ernest Thompson wrote for the ballet Aladdin. We heard Ruby, Emerald and Pearl, dating from 1974. It's quite near the end of Ernest's career as a composer. There's something impressionistic about those pieces and lovely touches of tuned percussion instruments there, bells and all sorts of things. Quite delightful. Now we're going to return briefly to, well not too briefly, but we're going to return to Handel, and we're going to hear a movement from one of his organ concertos. I don't think I've ever played a movement from any of Handel's organ concertos in the entire series of these programmes, so we're going to put that right now. Now what is perhaps not well known is that Handel's organ concertos, and there are at least probably 20 of them, were composed and to be played by Handel himself, who was a brilliant organ virtuoso. And they were composed to be played between the acts of his oratorios. Handel himself would obviously play them, and it would make a nice spacer between the various acts of the oratorios. I'm going to play the last movement of the concerto number 14 in A major, which is undated, but it's generally thought by them what's in the know that it was composed probably in 1739 and was performed first in March that year between the acts of Handel's great ode Alexander's Feast. So anyway, the finale then of Handel's Organ Concerto, number 14, in A major.
Thank you.
A movement from one of Handel's organ concertos. That was the concerto number 14 in A major. It was played by Richard Marlowe on the organ of Trinity Chapel in Cambridge. Back, or rather on a little bit more, I think a bit more Handel at this point. I've got a thing about Handel. I love Handel's music. And I have, I don't know, 40 or 50 recordings of Handel's dramatic works. Half of them are, of course, Italian operas, Giulio Cesare, Tamerlano, Tolomeo, Circe, and so on. But the rest, of course, are so-called oratorios. But in fact, only two of Handel's oratorios actually draw their text in any way, really, from the Bible. Messiah, of course, and the other is Israel in Egypt, which we'll come to in a minute. Problem was that in the 19th century, Messiah, of course, was one of the three most popular choral works in England. The other was, of course, the other two were Haydn's Creation and Mendelssohn's Elijah. When it came to Messiah, though, the music publishers and choral directors, whatever, they tried to make all of Handel's oratorios fit into the Messiah mode, so they were horribly cut about and whole things shifted and dragged in from other works. It simply didn't work at all because they didn't realise that in fact Messiah, and to a certain extent Israel in Egypt, were totally unique. Most of Handel's oratorios shouldn't be called oratorios at all. They don't behave like oratorios. Some of them have far more arias and duets than choruses, for a start. And therefore, the English choral societies wouldn't be interested in them. But fabulous dramatic works like Saul, Solomon, Belshazzar, Hercules. I could go on. Or Theodora, of course, Jephthah. Handel was attracted to these stories because they had powerful characters, particularly in the case of Saul and Solomon, and wrote some of his most magnificent music. But they're not like Messiah. They're more like English music dramas. They're more like operas in English, really. Consequently, until 20, 30 years ago or so, most of these were not recorded and very rarely performed. Here endeth the lesson. So let's turn to Israel in Egypt, which was probably the second most popular of Handel's oratorios in the Victorian age. And it is predominantly a choral work. There are solos, of course, but it's predominantly a choral work. And the choruses are absolutely magnificent. I'm not surprised choral societies loved it. But you don't hear it much today. And in fact, most people didn't hear it in anything like the form that Handel conceived it even then. What was generally known as Israel in Egypt was really only parts 2 and 3 of the original work. The original part 1, the Lamentation of the Israelites on the Death of Joseph, Handel here borrowed the music he wrote for the funeral of Queen Caroline, a very, very moving piece, and he changed the words to fit the new situation. It's a wonderful, wonderful piece. That was part 1 of Israel in Egypt. But that was largely ignored. So what we had was part 2, which was the Exodus, and part 3, which was the Song of Moses. Now, it's a bit short like that, and not very well balanced. So these days, when it's recorded and performed, the Lamentation of the Israelites for the death of Joseph becomes the part 1. As Handel envisaged. It was composed in 1737 and continued in 1738 and was first performed in April 1739 at the King's Theatre in London. That's the theatre in the Haymarket. As I say, it was once immensely popular and it should be again. Let's just hear the very opening symphony of Israel in Egypt as Handel conceived it, and the opening chorus, The Sons of Israel Do Mourn. The opening chorus there from the first part, the original first part, the Handel's Oratorio Israel in Egypt. We heard the opening symphony. That's what Handel called it, a symphony. It's a sort of a prelude or a little overture, perhaps you would call it. Very sombre in tone. And then a magnificent opening chorus, The Sons of Israel Do Mourn. And we shall be returning to Israel in Egypt later in the programme. But we need a slight break from that. So we're going to head for the Curry countryside, I should say. And the music of John Fox. This is his Surrey Rhapsody, composed in 2006. John Fox studied composition, violin and piano at the Royal College of Music and was a very prolific composer of library and concert music, those wonderful pieces that were written for music libraries, and an arranger of other composers' works as well. He's a notable conductor in England and in Europe. He was a guest conductor of the BBC Radio Orchestra and so on and so forth. I'm going to play his Surrey Rhapsody. It's a lovely little piece. It opens with a dawn chorus and distant bells. And then there's a theme that appears which evokes the beauty of the Surrey Hills, Box Hill, Leith Hill and Colley Hill. There's a lovely oboe solo which reflects the woods all around the composer's home in Banstead. And then we're transported to Epsom Downs for Derby Day at the end. So, John Fox, A Surrey Rhapsody. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed that piece, John Fox's A Surrey Rhapsody, composed in 2006, and very evocative, I think, of a very beautiful county. So let's get back to Handel, and things start getting a bit serious here, because in part two of the oratorio, it's really all about Jehovah's punishment on the Egyptians. It's a section called Exodus, of course. And it's actually one magnificent chorus after another. Let's hear two or three of them. The first one is He Gave Them Hailstones for Rain.
Oh,
chorus from part two of Israel in Egypt, he gave them hailstones for rain. Now, come on, choral societies on the Isle of Man. Wouldn't you rather sing something like that for a change, apart from Hallelujah Chorus and all the rest of it? Surely. Let's hear another one. He sent a thick darkness. Further chorus there, he sent a thick darkness over all the land, even darkness which might be felt, from the second part of Handel's Israel in Egypt. It's a magnificent work and not as well known these days as it used to be. Right, so where to now? Well, we need something, I think, to lighten the texture a little bit. We are coming near the end of the programme. Maybe a couple of pieces by Carlo Martelli. Born in 1935 in London, of an Italian father and an English mother, he studied at the Royal College of Music with William Lloyd Webber, the famous Lloyd Webber's father, of course, and then full-time composition with Bernard Stevens. He played the viola professionally in a number of London orchestras. I'm going to play a short piece. It's called Romance. And it's adapted from the score for The Curse of the Mummy's Tomb, one of several Hammer horror films that he worked on. Romance by Carlo Martelli. That really brings me to the end of the programme. I hope you've enjoyed the selection, even the couple of grisly choruses there from Israel in Egypt. We shall be dipping into Handel's lesser-known oratorio from time to time. There's always something interesting there. Please join me next Thursday at 9. In the meantime, goodbye.